What did the terrorist attacks of September 11th mean to those who carried them out? What could be going through the mind of someone who hijacks a plane and flies it into a building filled with thousands of people? All of the perpetrators of September 11th knew, bin Laden has said, that they were participating in a martyrdom operation, though most of them did not know what would be required of them until very late, possibly until just before they boarded the planes. Among those in the dark were the Mussel, the 10 Saudis who joined the operation late and whose task it was to overcome the plane's flight staffs and those in the aisles so the pilots could take control. Others, Marwan al-Shehhi is the prime example, may have lacked the will to anything but follow orders. For years before the hijackings, al-Shehhi and Mohammed Atta were inseparable. They met and lived together in Hamburg. They moved from one flight school to the next and one apartment to the next while in the United States, and they were physically together virtually all the time. Rudy Deckers, the owner of Huffman Aviation, the Florida school they attended the longest, said they were joined at the hip, and like a duck with the little ones, Atta in front, al-Shehhi always behind him. Al-Shehhi was incapable of defying his master. And Atta? An intelligent and disciplined individual, Atta knew what he was doing. That is clear from the 5-page document found in his luggage, which accidentally did not make it aboard American Airlines Flight 11 out of Boston's Logan Airport. It is not certain that Atta was the author of the handwritten document. Two other copies were found, one in a rental car at Dulles Airport, another in the wreckage of United Airlines Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. But given what is known about him, his piety and his religious knowledge, he is the most likely candidate. The document was meant to spiritually and practically prepare those who read it for their task. Some of its instructions are mundane. Tighten your shoes well and wear socks that hold in the shoes and do not come out. Others, such as inspect your weapon before you leave, are obviously meant to prevent errors. Most, however, are intended to focus the spirit on the work at hand. Laying out readings from Muslim scriptures, setting out a list of invocations to be recited at different points, and reminding the reader, for example, when the airplane starts moving and heads toward takeoff, recite the supplication of travel, because you are traveling to God. May you be blessed in this travel. The letter testifies to the hijackers' understanding of themselves as warriors, striking against the evil that is the West. The hijacker is told to remember to ask God to help us against the non-believers, that takeoff is the hour of encounter between the two camps, and that the act will be carried out for the glory of God. The scholars Kanan Makia and Hassan Nenne note that in talking about the killing that will take place on board, the document uses a very specific word for slaughter, one that means slitting the two jugular veins in the throat of an animal, as in ritual sacrifice. For centuries, Muslims have slaughtered a sheep at the Eid al-Adha, using this technique as a remembrance of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac to God. When the moment came for the hijackers to make their move, they rushed the cabin crew and, using their box-cutter blades, stabbed them or slit their throats. The crew were being sacrificed, but they were not the only offerings. Ultimately, all those who would die aboard the planes and in the buildings were also being rendered to the deity. Sacrifices are offered for different reasons. In thanksgiving for good fortune, to fulfill a requirement of the calendar, ancient Israelites made the pilgrimage to the temple 3 times a year to fulfill their obligations. September 11th fits neither category. It was a sacrifice made for the most common reason, expiation, the removal of a sin through an external act of giving. What sins did Muhammad Atta have to atone for? The letter he presumably wrote is unusual for an Al-Qaeda document in being introspective, concerned almost exclusively with the individual who was reading it. It is, in that regard, a rare piece of private thought. A single hint about what wrongs Atta was expiating comes in the only extended passage about the victims of the sacrifice. For all their equipment, and all their gates and all their technology do not do benefit or harm except with the permission of God. The believers do not fear them. Those who fear them are the followers of Satan, those who had feared Satan to begin with and became his followers. Fear is a great act of worship that can be offered only to God, and he is most worthy of it. God said, following the aforementioned verses, "It is Satan who causes fear in his followers." These are the admirers of Western civilization, who have drunk their love for it and their hallowing of it with the cool water, and were afraid for their weak, feeble stomachs. Fear them not, but fear me, if you are believers. Fear is indeed a great act of worship, offered by the followers of God, and by the believers only to the one God who rules over all things, with the utmost certitude that God will annul the treachery of the non-believers. For God has said, "Verily, God will weaken the treachery of the non-believers."